I don't think Brett thinks of it as fondly.
No.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie's been inside the New South Wales camp. He's coming up next on the Mixed Plus Breakfast Weekend.
Forklifts.
Victims groups want the courts to start treating domestic violence offenders the same as they do one-punch attackers. Elizabeth Daniels reports.
Aggressors are 5% more likely to be jailed for punching a stranger on the street than for beating their partners and children. And when they do serve time, Bureau of Crime Statistics figures show random assaults attract sentences 3 months longer than attacks in the confines of a home. Victims groups say magistrates are too lenient on domestic violence offenders, wanting the issue taken as seriously as one-punch attacks. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
The federal government is looking to put teachers on the front line in the fight against radicalisation. Educators will be taught to spot potential jihadis in their classrooms. News Corp reports government officials, terror experts and Islamic leaders are discussing introducing the scheme to the curriculum. Armed with a blood-filled syringe, a man has robbed a store in Sydney's inner suburbs. Lucy Brennan reports.
The 39-year-old man entered the Woolloomooloo grocery store around 3:30 yesterday afternoon, waving a blood-filled syringe. He threatened the store's employee, forcing him to hand over an amount of cash before then fleeing the scene. A crime scene was established. Later in the day, police attended a nearby residence to arrest the offender, and during a search of the man, located drugs believed to be cannabis. He's expected to face court today. Lucy Brennan, Macquarie National News.
Ireland is being touted a rainbow nation after voters said yes to same-sex marriage. It's the first country in the world to change the law by popular vote to allow gay people to wed. Ireland's Deputy Prime Minister Joan Burton says the landslide ballot shows the nation has chosen progress.
In this profoundly uplifting campaign, we were just one part of a much wider movement, a rainbow movement to help create a rainbow nation.
Australians are more afraid of losing their sight than losing their memory, hearing or even a limb. Despite that, a new survey has found among the over 50s, one in four haven't had their eyes tested in the past 2 years. Voting has closed in the Eurovision Song Contest in Vienna.
Vienna, are you ready for the countdown?
Audio from the SBS, battling the flu, Australia's wildcard entrant Guy Sebastian belted out his pop tune Tonight Again to wild applause. In finance, one Australian dollar is buying 78.29 US cents.
Sports for Builders Steel Direct.
North Queensland have won a club record 8 straight NRL games, beating West Tigers 8-0 at Campbelltown. Coach Jason Taylor is devastated they didn't get a single point.
That's not what we've come to know from the West Tigers over the years, but and we're really disappointed about that. But at the same time, we're working really hard to change the way this team plays.
The split round 11 continues today with Canberra hosting Canterbury. There's growing concern about Greg Inglis's fitness ahead of Wednesday's State of Origin. He's developed a chest infection. Sydney edged out Hawthorn by 4 points in an AFL Classic at the MCG. The Swans kicking the last 3 goals of the game, including 2 to captain Jared McVeigh. Midfielder Luke Parker had 26 possessions, telling 7 it was a well-deserved result.
We want to come out with that aggression each week for the four quarters. And really didn't focus on last year. We knew we just had to bring the intensity. It's such an incredible and powerful team, and we saw in the second quarter they were able to work their way back into the game.
Wins also to Fremantle, Collingwood, West Coast and GWS. To the Super Rugby, and the New South Wales Waratahs have taken home a 32-22 win over the Crusaders. The Western Force lost 23-3 to the Highlanders to remain on the bottom of the ladder. Samantha Stosur recovered from a set down in the Strasbourg International Final to claim her first WTA title since last October. That's the latest Macquarie National News.
Today's sports report brought to you by Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialist. Best lintels, T-bars and arch bars at best prices. BuildersSteelDirect.com.au.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
And good morning, everybody. In Arncliffe, up to the International Airport Terminal at Mascot, Marsh Street, heavy eastbound traffic. Across town to Winston Hills and Seven Hills, Old Windsor Road. The lights blacked out at Abbott Road and also Gibbon Road because of a power failure there. In the city of Sydney CBD, the northern end of town, and around Hyde Park, the emergency services exercise, closing off various roads around from 9 till midday today. Right now at Freedom, NRMA members save up to 30% on full priced items, but hurry, ends Monday. Simply show your NRMA membership card at Freedom and save. Conditions apply. That's traffic number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Areas of morning fog in the west, light winds, tops of 19 on the coast and in the west. Partly cloudy with light winds for tomorrow. Further ahead, partly cloudy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, showers Friday and into the weekend. Right now in the city, it's 9 degrees, humidity at 91%, winds from the west at 26 kilometres an hour. It's 7 at Bankstown, 3 at Campbelltown, 10 at Gosford, 6 at Penrith, 4 at Richmond and 3 at Katoomba.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and the brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
Motor neurone disease kills 2 Australians every day. MND causes people to lose the use of their limbs, ability to speak, swallow, and breathe. There is no cure yet. What value do you put on the ability to dress yourself or hug your family? Put a price on it. That's your donation. Visit mndresearch.org.au and donate today to give hope.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They're my favourite pie. An all-Australian-owned and family-operated business, Gallo's Pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef. Mum, Friday night is pie night with Gallo's Junior Pie 12-packs, perfect for the kids. Gallo's Pies, available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, massive last hour coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. 1353 is the open line number. We're going to speak to Dean Bulldog Ritchie very shortly. We do that every Sunday. He's been up at Coffs Harbour. Deep in camp. Yeah. Mm. AKA... having a few sherbets with the New South Wales Rugby League Administration. That's what that's called. Wonder whether Dean got into the coconut water up there. Hope it's Coco Joy.
You had a few beers, I know that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. Also get us a Eurovision Song Contest update. I believe Guy Sebastian's 5th of 8.
He's in the game still, but...
He can't be in the game.
5th of 8.
That's it. There's about 40 countries. Yeah. So... he's a struggling guy. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to speak to Kendrick Louie, who is an Iron Man, a star of Australia. Yeah, Deepwater TV is the name of the show. It premiered yesterday at 4:30 on Channel 9. 6 Iron Men over there in the USA, and they are absolutely flat-strapped. It's been filmed earlier, obviously, but fantastic series, so we look forward to speaking to Kendrick about that. Nick Phipps He turns up at the Waratahs and they win their first ever Super 15 or Super title. So there's something in that. We'll have a chat to Nick on the back of the impressive win from the Waratahs last night, 32 points to 22 against the Crusaders in that grand final rematch. Raymond?
Yeah, we're asking all our listeners this morning, Jimmy, for their favourite Origin moments. Love this one from Sean from Canberra. Hi, guys. My favourite State of Origin moment was the look on Wayne Bennett's face after Mark Sparkles McGaw scored just inside the dead ball line in 1987. Was it that long ago?
Yeah,
I was in camp for New South Wales CHS trials, and it was unbelievable scenes as all four teams went up with the awarding of the try. 1987, Jim. Where do the years go?
Yeah, I know. It flashed to Wayne Bennett in the crowd, and he went, going, oh no! Mick Stone, of course, was the New South Wales referee, and Mick Stone looked at his tough judges and then pointed to the spot, and you thought, oh, brave decision. But you check the tape on that one. No video referee in those days.
No, yep.
Check the tape on that one, and he got it exactly right. So well done on that one. Hi, guys. A tip to the ordinary NRL team. Stop being in denial.
Mm.
I heard Taylor and players say the positive was keeping the Cowboys to one try. Cowboys had no attack to hurt the Tigers. Oh, and Jimmy, mate, uppercut to you for predicting an avalanche of points. Very amusing. Cheers,
in
boys.
In your pre-game spiel, yeah.
Well, I didn't, so you're wrong.
In this before the game?
No.
Didn't you say there'd be lots of tries in this game?
No. Andrew Voss said it.
Okay.
He said he's predicting a 20.
So you were nodding your head.
There you are, under the bus.
But you were nodding your head.
You got it wrong.
You're nodding your head.
Oh, nodding your head now.
In agreement. You agreed
with
an avalanche of tries.
I don't think there was. I got it horribly wrong the week before when I said that I didn't think there was going to be a lot of points in the Dragons-Canberra game. I got that wrong. No.
I reckon I watched that last. I saw you nodding your head next to Andrew Voss.
All right.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Just like Mick Stone back in 87. We'll check the tape.
A try.
All right. We'll look forward to that. 1353-53 is the open line number. But first, this man.
Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And here he is, Jimmy Dean, Bulldog Richie. He's been in camp all week. Jimmy, I know you've got some real concerns.
Well, I just wonder how much coconut water was consumed compared to the sponsor's product. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, men.
Good morning. You sound bright and chipper. Dino, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Ray Boyd. No, I've had a good couple of days up there. It's been a lovely, relaxing camp up there. They're in a good frame of mind. The Pacific Bay Resort's a lovely, tranquil spot, and it's great for the players to get up there. Just get away, I guess, from a bit of a hype in this area down here in Sydney.
Dino, Jimmy just rolled his eyes.
Yeah, they're training this morning, guys, and I think they arrive back in Sydney this afternoon at about 4 o'clock, set up base. At Homebush, they have a captain's run Tuesday, and of course the game on Wednesday.
What's the feeling you get from the camp? You've been there ever since Laurie Daly started using that Coffs Harbour area for the camp. Do you get a sense it's a bit different, given they are the defending champs this time?
It's a very relaxed camp, Jimmy. There's been no stress. It's been really, really laid back. It's quite unbelievable at times to think that there's such a mad State of Origin game only a few days away. But look, the players enjoy getting away. There's not a lot to do outside of train, and that's the reason Laurie Daly wants them up there. But look, we've got a great bench. I love our bench. I love our size and our power in our pack. And I think the mere fact that Mal Meninga is looking to pick Dylan Napper as the replacement for Daly Cherevin shows to me for the first time in about a decade that Queensland is now starting to mould their side around the team that we pick.
That's interesting. Dino, your thoughts on the mood this year? New South Wales, I guess, are the hunted rather than the hunter, the defending champions. Is the mood or amongst the players different to last year?
No, not really, right? Look, certainly we're the defending champions. Having said that, I think everyone knows that the Queensland team that will be sent out to ANZ on Wednesday night will be absolutely brilliant. I mean, they've still got a back line that's got Cronk and First and Inglis and Slater there. So, look, there's no doubt the Blues, despite winning, will be underdogs. I guess the question mark this year over the New South Wales side will be how and where they'll score their points. I think, from memory, we scored 28 points last year and somehow won the series. But
yeah, it's the lowest ever, I think,
that cutting the mustard again this year.
They scored four tries. Jared Haynes scored two of them.
Well, he's not there, and neither is Brett Morris, Jimmy.
Well, my question is, where do the points come from? Because Jared Haynes has been the best back for New South Wales over the last 5 years. Brett Morris has been the second best back. Paul Gallen and or Greg Bird's been the best forward, and or Greg Bird or Paul Gallen's been the second best forward. So that's my concern for New South Wales. The greatest thing New South Wales have going for them is Laurie Daly.
Calming influence.
The way he's grown into the role. Have you seen a change in Laurie since when he first took on the job?
Mate, Laurie is Laurie. Jimmy, you know what he's like. Part of Laurie hasn't changed from the day he left Junie as a 16-year-old kid to go to join the Raiders. He's just a good, decent fellow. I think everyone knows that. But certainly he's got him under control. Even the mere fact that they're not drinking. There was no edict from Laurie not to have a beer. I want to make that point quite clear. The players took it upon themselves. And there wasn't even a meeting to say, let's not drink. It just wasn't done. It's just not considered these days, which, of course, is such a different outlook to, you know, 10, 15 years ago when they had those big boozy bonding sessions. And I had no beef with those either, guys. I'm not being a prude about the whole thing. But the players have just changed. They're a bit more Gen Y. And as I wrote during the week, they walk around there all day with coconut waters and there hasn't been one player spotted having one beer or even one sip anywhere in Coffs Harbour.
Yeah, but, Dino, some things never change. And it seems before every Origin game, we get the same stories out of the Maroon camp about injuries and illnesses, etc. What's your mail on Greg Inglis, for example, and his illness?
Oh, it's all a bit boring, isn't it, Ray? a bit desperate, really early Queensland, but good luck to him. Look, Inglis is crook. He spent a bit of time in hospital. He's got tonsillitis, but he'll definitely be there. Gagai's come in as a backup for Billy Slater, who's in some doubt. He'll play, no doubt, and there's also a suggestion that Justin Hodges is crook, but we go through this every year. I think it's just a bit of a furphy. I spoke to Laurie yesterday, and I said, look, will you have any late changes to your starting side? He said, definitely not. He said, look, I don't play games like that. 17, where I pick them, that's how they'll start.
All right, let's get to some club news. There's a bit of news around South Sydney and the Sharks.
Yeah, the news around South is Chris McQueen, guys. He's under contract until the end of next year, but I've heard that the Gold Coast Titans may go back and have another crack at McQueen. Obviously, Nate Miles has left the Gold Coast. There's still a little bit of doubt, I guess, over the future of Dave Taylor and Greg Bird up there on the Sunshine Strip. So I'm hearing that it might have a crack at McQueen, who is a Queenslander and has told people over the years that one day he would like to go back there. Over at the Sharks, I'm hearing they might re-sign Chad Townsend. He was, of course, with the Warriors. Manly, I hear, had some preliminary interest in Townsend. I think you'll find that he'll end up, though, back at the Sharks. And Isaac DeGoyce fractured his cheekbone last week. I'm hearing that it's long-term. He may not play again this year, so that'll be a bit of a blow.
That might end his career.
Yeah.
That might end his career, Dana. I got a feeling he was hanging them up at the end of this year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was, Jimmy. As you say, that we may not see Isaac DeGoyce again. Look, hopefully it's not too bad, but I'm hearing it is certainly long-term.
And I think Chad Townsend's partner's mother has a serious illness, and that's the big reason why they want to come home, and that's the big reason why the Sharks are the favourites on that one.
Yeah, okay. Dino, Raiders and Bulldogs today. Any news there?
Yeah, it's a 4 o'clock game at Canberra Stadium, Ray. The Raiders at the moment are 1-17, but just a bit of mail around town that Sam Williams may return early from injury, so we'll keep an eye out there. Over at the Bulldogs, James Graham goes out, Chase Stanley goes out, a couple of blows there for the struggling Dogs. Desi's keeping his cards close to his chest, not revealing his replacements just yet. So we'll have to keep chasing that as the afternoon goes on. And there's that Monday night game, Newcastle-Brisbane, up there at Hunter Stadium. A bit of a blow for the Knights. Jeremy Smith has a sternum injury. He will be out for the next 2 weeks. Of course, that knocks about a Knights pack already without Bo Scott. So Newcastle in a bit of trouble there. The Brisbane Broncos, they've lost 5 to State of Origin, but there's no changes from the 1-17 they picked on Tuesday night.
Haven't they lost 6?
Might be 6. Didn't
four,
yeah.
Is it? It was 6. Anyway, they've lost a lot to State of Origin. They're easily the most affected side. Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, that's the gist. But, Ray, I'm hearing there's still about 7,000 to 10,000 seats left at ANZ Stadium, so they won't sell out. But, look, if they can get up and nudge about 80,000, I'm sure that would please Jimmy, no doubt, and
the NRL. Mate, you're the reason they can't sell it out, because you wrote that article about the ticket prices.
Well, I was talking for the fans, Jimmy, for the I don't have an RV tower like you.
I was waiting. I thought, where's the family that you can highlight that can't afford the tickets? Sure enough, Dino, there it was the next day, the family that's not going to Origin because of ticket prices.
Ray, when you stir, make sure it's with a silver spoon.
Hey, Dino, on a quick point, you've been covering Origin, about 25 years now?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know it comes up almost every year, but Jimmy's very big on it. The Origin and how it does detract from NRL games. Like we've seen 2 games this weekend which haven't been of terrific standard, and he's more for having standalone weekends. Dino, what's your thoughts? Can it be done?
I wrote a piece about it during the week. What other competition in the world essentially sucks up to 40 yeah. players out of your competition and keeps going.
The EPL stops, Dino. The EPL yeah. stops for internationals.
Your crowds are down, your TV ratings are down. You're basically treating the NRL like a New South Wales Cup competition for a few weeks. I think it's terrible. Something's got to give. But you know, why would you want to go and pay money to watch teams play that don't have their superstars in there? Look, something's got to give. Mm. It can't go on like this. And I think the last 48 hours have shown that yet again, that the NRL don't seem to want to act on it.
They'll act on it. It'll be next broadcast deal. It'll be the only time they can act on it, but it will be different. Dino, you enjoy your coconut water in the lead-up to Wednesday's big game.
Oh, well, it should be a great game. I'll talk to you next week, guys.
Good on you, Dino. Look forward to that. You may have heard the producer room erupt during the course of that Dean Ritchie telephone call. I thought, oh.
Guy Sebastian?
Dean's gone over the top or something. No, they're watching Eurovision Song Contest. Spot on, guys. Thanks very much for your support during the course of the show.
Does that mean Guy's back in the game?
No, I don't know, but I think they just had a cross to Australia.
It's a harbour bridge. It's warm. Across to Australia.
I've seen that before. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio is your one-stop shop when preparing for a day's punting.
From Racing HQ with tips and scratchings to crucial interviews from trainers and jockeys, our commitment is simple. Supply you with winners.
National Racing Service gives you the complete picture, full of colour and excitement.
Right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
The Blues snapped an inglorious run of series defeats last year, but can their stars outscore an ageing team of Maroon champions to start a run of their own? Back any player in the first try scorer market in State of Origin Game 1 with your TAB account or TAB rewards card, and if your player doesn't score first but scores later in the game, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent points. Get on at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Can you see yourself trackside at the Ark? Or maybe watching the Wallabies play England at Twickenham with Gullivers? It's not a dream. It can be a reality. Ambassador Travel can guarantee it. The first weekend of October can be one you'll never forget. And that's just the start of the tour. It gets better. First-class accommodation. Exclusive tours to Europe. Track work in the majestic forest of Chantilly. You'll visit the battlefields of the Somme. Plus soak up all that Paris and London has to offer. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Morning, Jimmy and Ray. One of my favourite Origin moments is Mick O'Connor's sideline kick in the pouring rain in 1991. Regards the factor. That was yours too, morning. Wasn't it, Ray?
And morning, lads. My greatest day of Origin moment. The year the score was 5-4. Ooh. H.G. Nielsen had said it would be a dream score as it was going to be a wet track. So I picked the score either way with a tab and bang, got it. Collected $4,500. Cheers, Annie. There you go.
Good on you, Annie.
5-4. When was that, Jimmy? I can't recall that.
Langer kicked the field goal, I think, and he never kicked the field goal before. And it was at Lang Park.
Yep.
And I can't remember the year, early 90s.
About 93, maybe?
Yeah, 94. Right now, it's the perfect time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. How good is this stuff? Oh. I brought it in last week. What did you think of it, the coconut water?
Yeah, I loved it.
Kept a few for myself, too, just quietly.
I took a few home, too, don't worry.
Yeah, you got to do that around here. We bag everyone else, but we're the worst offenders. Let me tell you, there's no better refresher than Coco Joy 100% coconut water. What a coup getting Viv Richards to voice those ads too.
You'd love to hear his voice, wouldn't you? How cool is he? Like, I'm no deep voice.
Wouldn't mind his test record. That wouldn't be
56.6 something, I think it was.
Nah.
56. Average 56.
Test average?
Yeah.
Nah.
You reckon I'm wrong?
Yeah.
You keep reading.
I reckon it's about 50. it's a touch over 50. I reckon it's closer to 50 than it is to 56.
Okay.
Producer Jeremy's giving me the wind-up. It's naturally sweet. It's chock full of goodness, Jeremy. And there's no nasties like added sugar, preservatives or concentrates. Compared with other typical sports drink, it also contains higher levels of potassium, fewer calories and less sodium, which all assist with recovery after exercise. Great news if you're into your sport or always on the move. Coco Joy 100% coconut water is also dairy, gluten and soy free. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. Imagine what his record would have been with Coco Joy back in the day. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sports.
You're right, Jimmy. 50.23. I thought it was higher than that. The great man, Viv Richards. 121 tests, 8,540 runs. High score of 291, which was at Lords in 1976.
I think that was the year he scored calendar year.
1,700 runs or something.
Yeah.
24 test centuries, an average of 50.23.
What was his strike rate? About 89?
Yeah, back in the days when they didn't have a strike rate back then.
Yeah.
His strike rate in ODIs was 90.2, so he was ahead of his time in ODIs. Averaged 47, 11 hundreds in 187 games.
Averaging 47 in ODIs. Batting 32.
A strike rate of 90 when strike rates weren't even thought of back then.
Yeah, fantastic. What a player. 13-53-53, the open line number. Jack is on the line. G'day, Jack.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Morning, Jack.
Jimmy, why would you say Sunday night at Origin? Why wouldn't you say a prime time Saturday night? Because I'm up the fret in the morning. I don't go at Origin for that reason. I don't eat home until midnight.
Right.
If you live in the country or you live in, say, Newcastle and that, people don't go because they have to hop up early to work the next day. Why not? If you make it prime time Saturday night, the family can book the weekend and say, right, we'll go into Sydney on the Saturday, we'll do something. What the game Saturday night, and we'll go home Sunday.
Every point was a good one, Jack. I'm very open to Sunday night or Saturday night, but for those reasons and the regional listeners and viewers who want to come down and watch the footy, that's a great idea. So I'm open to Saturday night if it works for the TV networks. But I just thought Sunday because Sunday's a really big TV night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jimmy,
yeah.
What you could do too is have it like they did with the Irish tour. You have it every fortnight, every 2 weeks on the Saturday.
Yeah, right? They could do that.
And what you do is you pick it. It's very long winded. I have a brilliant idea where it doesn't affect the competition. You can still have your TV rights, and you can take the football to the country too. Like your club game, but they wouldn't be club game. It'd be kind of like a round robin, not out over a period. You play three or four teams, you play double headers, and you're looking up your TV rights. People in the country. It's playing to you a lot more, Jimmy. If you ever, anytime you want to find out the idea I have, you have my phone number. I'm able to sit there and talk to you a bit more about it. But I reckon,
All right. Okay. Jack, sounds like you put some thought into that. We might, I might give you a call on that one, or you can drop me an email. But anyway, stay on the line, Jack. Stay on the line. We're going to send you out a CD courtesy of Sony Music. I don't know whether, we'll find out whether Jack wants Ultimate Rock or Country. I think we've got a Leonard Cohen one there. I don't know whether Jack's 106, but maybe he might like that one. Anyway, time now for a sports update with Tanya.
North Queensland's NRL winning streak extended to 8 last night with an appropriate 8-0 win over the West Tigers in Campbelltown. At the 77th minute mark, the game sat at 2-0, which if it had finished there would have been the lowest scoring game since the scoreless draw between Newtown and Canterbury in 1982. Antonio Winterstein was the scorer. Just the one game today, Canberra versus Canterbury. Sydney won the grand final replay against Hawthorn in the AFL at the MCG, but only just in front of over 63,000. The Swans managed to restore a bit of pride against the Hawks with a 73-69 win. GWS recorded its third straight win for the first time in the club's history, knocking over Adelaide 108-84. The Giants in control for the majority of the game to be 6-2 for the season and sitting in fourth spot. And Fremantle 115 easily beat North Melbourne 42. New South Wales on top of the Australian Conference after a 33-22 bonus point win in the Super Rugby over the Crusaders, but also a grand final replay at ANZ Stadium. In Perth, the Highlanders 23 beat the Western Force 3, Stormers 31, Rebels 15, the Lions 40-17 over the Cheetahs, and the overall ladder leaders, the Hurricanes, beat the Blues 29-5 at Eden Park. Sam Stosur's last-minute decision to contest the Strasbourg Open has paid off, with the Aussie winning the tournament with a three-set victory over Kristina Mladenovic in the final. It's her first WTA title since last October and a brilliant lead-in to the start of the French Open, which gets underway at Roland Garros tomorrow. New Zealand outplayed England on the third day of the first cricket test at Lord's, with Kane Williamson making 132. At stumps, the Poms were 2-74. They trail New Zealand's first innings of 5-23 by 60 runs. Meantime, the Australians are in the Caribbean for a two-match series against the West Indies before they head to England for the Ashes. All the beautiful people have converged on Monte Carlo for one of the most visually captivating events of the sporting calendar, apparently, and that's the Monaco F1 Grand Prix this weekend, where Lewis Hamilton has grabbed pole. Daniel Ricciardo will start from fourth. Kevin Na, top of the leaderboard after round three of the US PGA event in Texas. He's at 11 under. He's one ahead of Ian Poulter, two ahead of Charlie Hoffman. Adam Scott, best of the Aussies, at 6 under in a tie for 10th. And the final round of the English Premier League tomorrow, with a focus on relegation, with Newcastle and Hull under the spotlight, both looking for the win, of course. Now, Newcastle look to win over West Ham, but if they lose, Hull can stay there with a win over Manchester United. Relegation, boys, as we know, can cost up to $50 million or £50 million to a team. So they will try anything to stay in that top flight.
Anything?
Anything.
Here we go.
You'll never guess. World-renowned paranormalist and psychic Uri Geller. Remember the one that bent the spoon?
Spoonbender.
He's been a Newcastle fan for a long, long time and apparently believes that he was responsible for ending a 29-game streak where they went without a win in 2001. They finally broke that streak with a win over Arsenal. Now, how did Uri do this? Apparently, he ran around the pitch 11 times, chanting something or other, because the sum of 2 and 9, being the streak, 29, is 11.
Yes.
And apparently it worked because other attempts failed. Example, they used exorcists and voodoo witch doctors to try and break the curse.
The witch doctors didn't work.
No, so Uri, and even Arsene Wenger after the match said there must have been a sorcerer at work. So he also claims to have been in a helicopter over Wembley and made Scotland's Gary McAllister miss a penalty in a match against England at Euro 96. He said he moved the ball with his mind.
But agreed
later on it was unethical.
Did Uri happen to invoice Newcastle United for that work?
I'm not sure, but he thinks now is he only needs 2 to 3 minutes with the players where he'll channel the energy from the fans to the players for that win over West Ham to keep them up there.
It'll work for you every time, Jim.
I'm not sure I'd give Uri 3 minutes with the players, quietly.
Might give Brad Arthur a quick call. I'll do anything at this stage.
Good call, Uri Geller. Blow the salary cap. If you're going to blow the salary cap, spend it on Uri Geller. That's what I say, Parramatta Reels. Thank you, Tanya. Appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and after that, we'll speak to the Iron Man, Kendrick Louie.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to be part of the New South Wales racing industry.
It's Pasadena Girl drawing alongside Street Prepper, and Pasadena Girl, the favourite, too good.
Every Wednesday at 9:30 on Racing HQ, get the vital information for the feature midweek meeting. Tips, markets and interviews. All you need to back a winner in 30 minutes. Your special New South Wales Thoroughbred Preview. Wednesday mornings at 9:30 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
If you're building a house, you'll want the highest quality lintels at the lowest possible price. For concrete lintels, galvanized steel lintels, render mesh bars, T-bars and other steel building products, the Builders Steel Direct team can't and won't be beaten on price or service. Next day delivery is guaranteed. For the best lintels, T-bars, render mesh and arch bars at unbeatable low prices, check out builderssteeldirect.com.au or call Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialists. 9623 8584.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Second series of a new show premiered on Channel 9 yesterday. It was 4:30 in the afternoon.
You watched it?
I taped it.
And
I went home and watched it last night. Yeah, and the star was Kendrick Louie, who was able to take on the first challenge of Deepwater TV is the name. It's six Iron Men, six Aussie superstars who have taken over to the USA. They're over there for 14 days in total, and they are put through hell and back. And I saw a preview screening during the week on Tuesday, actually, of the time they were with the Navy SEALs.
It'd be tough going, Jimmy.
And to say that was challenging was a bit of an understatement. We thought we'd get Kendrick Louie on the line to discuss the show and, of course, what's coming up for him from an Iron Man point of view. G'day, Kendrick.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well. I just want to know that the first episode, the premiere yesterday, how'd you watch it and who'd you watch it with?
I watched it actually at my girlfriend's place with my girlfriend and her dad, and yeah, it was cool. It was one of those things. Of watching that challenge, it brought back a lot of sore memories.
Yeah, good morning, Kendrick. What was the hardest thing or things you did during that show in America?
Oh, man, there's 8 episodes, so there's easily probably about 6 of them that were excruciating. But the thing that stays in my mind the most is definitely the Navy SEAL challenge we did. I was extremely nervous, not because how hard it was going to be, but probably because I was probably going to enjoy it.
Okay, like the pain factor.
Yeah, and the pain factor and really enjoyed like the concept maybe of, you know, who knows what I might want to do down the track if I want to go and, you know, join the Navy and be one of those guys.
Right,
but it was crazy.
Kendrick, is it more about the mental pain rather than the actual physical pain when you go through these sort of challenges in this show?
Oh, without a doubt. It's those guys just they try and break you mentally because they know it's going to be a lot harder to break us physically early on. So they just try and get in your head and really try and break. One massive thing I took out of it was, you know, the head guy, Mark Devine. After we finished it, I said to him, you know, what's one thing you could, bit of feedback you could give me? And he always said, you just got to learn to suffer in silence. And, you know, I've taken that from then and tried to, you know, put it towards my training and stuff now. And it works really well.
One of the things that is, with CrossFit is that you turn up to a championship and you don't know what the format's going to be, and that was the tough part that I thought would have been the challenge for you guys. To give listeners an indication, the first challenge involved a little mini Ironman, and then they had to do 100 chin-ups, 200 push-ups, and then 300 squats, and then finish off another little Ironman, and didn't know that it was coming. Was there any way to prepare? Did you get any indication, Kendrick, of what you might be asked to do physically so that you actually do some preparation for that?
I think the whole concept before the show is to be completely blind going into it.
Right.
We knew where we were going. We had no idea what to train for or what to prepare for. And, you know, you just got to prepare for the worst, you know, and really hope for the best. But, you know, you can't prepare for 100 straight chin-ups to 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then into a 1.6K soft sand run and then do a, you know, close to a 30-minute Ironman race. And I think looking back, all the boys were just were just so pumped and honoured to do it in, you know, in memory of Mike Murphy, who was the Navy SEAL that's actually named after. And,
yeah, right.
You know, a lot of people don't, you know, haven't seen that movie Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg, and he's one of the main guys.
Oh, okay.
Mike Murphy, and yeah, he's the one that actually gets him out alive. So to actually know that and do it in honour of him, it was actually really touching.
Yeah, I understand. Kendrick, on a personal basis, you touched on it earlier when you said about suffering and silence, but what can you take from this series of challenges you had to do for the show, and is there a way you can apply it to your particular sport of Ironman?
Well, I think pretty much going into these things, we did, yeah, as I said, we did 8 challenges and we were blind. We had no idea what we were doing and what was coming up. And the biggest thing I took from that, not into only my training, but just into my everyday life, is you just got to go with the flow, and whatever they throw at you, you've just got to get your head around it and just
keep moving forward.
Yeah. The big thing we just kept saying the whole time is it is what it is. Mm. You know, that there's nothing you can change. Just grit your teeth, try and smile, and just give it everything you've got.
You've been a Kellogg's Ninja Grain Ironman Series runner-up. That was back in 2013. Ali Day is the reigning champ at the moment. How do you go about upsetting Ali for a 2015-16?
Mate, Ali was very consistent this year, and it showed that... you know, he had a year off with illness, and, excuse me, and he came back fighting really strong. And for me, it is just you've just got to prepare. You've got to be extremely consistent. And as the series was over last season, it was 3 weekends. Mm. You know, you had a Saturday, Sunday, 3 weekends, and you can't afford for anything to go wrong. So, you know, dealing with Mother Nature is always tough. But for me, I like to put my hand up and say I want to win, and I'm not hiding that, and I'm going to do everything I can until I do win, and whether those things fall into place, that's when it will happen. So, yeah, I guess it might be my year, it might not, but I'll definitely give it a red-hot crack.
Kendrick, just finally, it's well documented that you were, I guess, terrified of the surf and the ocean, and obviously being an Ironman, that's an integral part of the sport. How did you overcome that fear, and when was it that you actually managed to overcome that fear and become an Ironman?
So it was a very young age when I actually that fear actually occurred. It was from about the age of 2, and then I sort of started to overcome it at about 10 years old. And really, I was actually petrified of the ocean and the water, and it wasn't until my dad, he just baby steps, just encouraging me, and then, you know, I'd go in the water for a bit, but I wouldn't go out the back in the waves.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just that persistence. And all of a sudden, you know, when I was probably about 10 years old, I was loving it.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It was just from one extreme to the next. And I guess I look back and I can't thank my dad enough just being so patient and persistent with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to be a full-time Ironman now, it's like, yeah, they're worlds apart.
Exactly, yeah.
Your persistence has been rewarded. So well done to you, Kendrick. Good luck for the upcoming Nutri-Grain Ironman series. And we will watch with interest on Saturday afternoons at 4:30. You'll have to tape it as well, Raymond. You'll be at the races. Yeah. But good luck with that, Kendrick. And thanks for joining us this morning.
Enjoy it, boys. Thanks,
Kendrick.
Kendrick Lurie there, and you can watch him, as I said, Saturday afternoon at 4:30 on Channel 9. Matt Poole, Tannen Linden, Matt Bevilacqua, Kai Hurst, Ali Day, and Kendrick will all be starring on that one. Yeah, no, it's great. It's a good watch. It's a good watch, so make sure you check it out.
It's been literally challenged mentally and physically to their absolute limit. That's extraordinary.
You'd wonder who'd be the best. You know, you could probably argue very strongly the best overall all-round athletes.
Yep.
Would be the Ironman.
I reckon it's Ironman and maybe boxers. I reckon boxers.
Yeah, boxers would be up there.
Supremely fit. Yeah,
that'd be good. I believe Trent Lanscale is up there as well. They say boxers, Ironman, and tab media men.
Yeah, one of the odds Trent gives himself of getting through the series.
Odds. Trent, could you frame a market on that one? Good morning, mate.
Fellas, all I'll say is I'm absolutely exhausted just listening to what's happened there with the Ironman and all that stuff. Fitness is not my forte, I will say that much.
Fair enough.
Just recollection, the Swans Hawthorn score from last night?
Sydney 11-7-73, Hawthorn 9-15-69.
Emblazoned on the... Were you there, Trent?
I was there, right?
Cracking game of footy, wasn't it?
Mm. Oh, it was a tremendous game of footy. The wrong side won. That's just the way it goes. Sydney were dominant in the first quarter and a half, to be honest, and Hawthorn made the customary comeback, but Jared Mivay just settled them down, and Luke Parker got the winner. Hawthorn had their chances. Bruce missed that shot, and Rioli was running in the goal and fumbled it. So it was a fantastic grand final rematch, and Sydney now looking pretty good at 6-2, and Hawthorn 4-4. So the Swans just, if you can go under the radar, I think they are at the moment. There's a lot of talk about Fremantle being still undefeated, but the Swans are just going about their business nicely.
Didn't really need a match report on it, thanks, Trent. But anyway, let's go to some NRL games, mate. That's the big game in town.
4 o'clock this afternoon, Jimmy, at GIO Stadium. Canberra, $1.42. Canterbury, $3. Now, you mentioned the line with Zorba this morning. Canberra minus 3.5 is $1.55. Canterbury plus 3.5 at $2.45. So, if you're looking at the super line, where it's about $1.90 each of two, Canberra giving away a 6.5-point start. In the margin betting at the end of normal time, the Raiders by 13 or more at $2.50, by 1 to 12 at $3. The Bulldogs, 1 to 12 at $4, and 13 plus, $7.50. And we have to talk about Origin 1 Wednesday night at ANZ Stadium. New South Wales, $2.10. Queensland, $1.75. Queensland's giving away a 2.5-point start. And for the Origin winner, Queensland, $1.55. New South Wales, $2.50.
And three AFL games today, Trent?
There is Ray 110 at Etihad Stadium, Essendon $1.19 and Brisbane $4.75. Got the Bombers giving away a 28.5-point start. 3.20 at the MCG, Melbourne $3.45, the Western Bulldogs $1.33. The Bulldogs are giving away an 18.5-point start. And the 4.40 start at the Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide $1.30 with Richmond at $3.55, and the Power are giving away a 23.5-point start.
We've spoken about it a bit today. French Open starts tonight. Roger Federer, where's he in the market? Ray's favourite.
He great is man. A $13 chance, Jimmy, to win the French Open. It does start tonight. A little bit weird that the other three Grand Slams, they start on a Monday, but that's just the way it is at the French Open. So for the men's winner, Novak Djokovic, who's been in great form this season, he is the dominant favourite at $1.75. Rafael Nadal at $4. Andy Murray and Kei Nishikori at $9. And then Federer at $13. For the women's, it's a bit more open. Serena Williams, the $3.50 favourite. Maria Sharapova, $4.50. Simona Halep at $5. Victoria Azarenka at $10, and then Petra Kvitova at $11. And just quickly, fellas, the NBA Conference Finals, they're going on at the moment. In the Western Conference, it's Game 3 at 11 o'clock this morning on ESPN. The Houston Rockets, $1.85, at home to the Golden State Warriors at $2. And the Warriors are already up 2-0 in the series. For the NBA winner, Golden State, $1.42. The Cleveland Cavaliers, $2.75. They're 2-0 up in the Eastern Conference Finals. Houston at $41, and the Atlanta Hawks, $51.
You may not be an iron man, but you're out numbers, man. You've done it again, Trent. Well done, mate. We'll speak next week.
We'll do again. Thanks, fellas.
Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. If you missed any of those prices, check them out online, tab.com.au. A break, and then we're back with Nick Phipps from the Waratahs.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
The Budget Small Business, Harvey Norman. Three big winners. If you are a small business, then Harvey Norman is your destination. Up to $20,000 per item can be written off immediately. Carpets, electrical, computers, furniture, bedding. This really is a bonanza for small business. And when you spend, the whole of the economy benefits. Win, win, win at Harvey Norman, Harvey Norman, Harvey Norman. Tax rules apply.
Go! Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Well, fire crews have been summoned to Valerie Avenue at Borkham Hill. Speculation as to whether that's blacked out. The lights at Windsor Road at Abbott Road, a little further down the hill, and also towards the Winston Hill shops for a Gibbon Road. Don't forget the City of Sydney Emergency Services exercise, closing roads in another 10 minutes or so until midday today, and that's in the northern end of the CBD and around Hyde Park. Arncliffe, Mar Street to the Sydney International Airport Terminal. We've got heavy traffic eastbound, and until Sunday at David Jones, get ready for winter with 30% off when you spend $50 or more on dinnerware from Gordon Ramsay and Sophie Gonran. And terms and conditions apply. That's the latest traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you,
Give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Jimmy, I did just check those Grand Slam titles. You're right. Margaret Court, 24.
24. Steffi?
Yeah, Steffi, 22.
22, yeah.
And Serena's currently equal third on 19 with Helen Wills Moody. Roger Federer in the men's 17. Pete Sampras, 14. Rafael Nadal, 14.
Mm-hmm.
If Roger can win a second French Open, he will join Roy Emerson and Rod Laver, the only players in the history of the game to win all four legs of the Grand Slam at least twice.
Yeah, it's a good record.
What a record.
I remember there was a great story with Jim Courier was playing golf with Andre Agassi, and they were talking about, you know, Grand Slam, and then they rang Andre's wife.
Yeah, Steffi.
And she blew him out of the water.
22. Djokovic, yep. Who's favourite, has never won a French Open. So he's going for a career slam, so to speak, if he can win at Roland Garros, which, as I said, Jimmy, starts tonight at 7 p.m.
Yeah, that's the big one. Andre Agassi did it. Yep. It was a fantastic effort. I reckon this guy could probably do it. Scotty Foster. What a turnaround in his life since he's got married and become a father.
What are you saying, Jim?
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, boys. Well, it's good to see that you had one elite sportsman earlier in Kendrick, and you got me to follow on.
Well done, Scotty. Good comeback. Well done, Scotty.
Very good, yeah. Steve Foster and Sons, they've got the quality cars. They've got the quality salespeople as well. Always two outstanding buys for our listeners. What's up with Origin 1 in the air with your first car there, Scotty?
It's exciting stuff this week in the lead-up to Origin. So we've got two super exciting vehicles on sale to go with it. The first one being a 2007 Mazda CX-7 luxury wagon. It's the New South Wales Blues in colour with black leather trim, climate control air conditioning, ABS brakes, 6 airbags, cruise control, traction control, power windows, power sunroof, premium sound, 18-inch alloy wheels, a rear spoiler and fog lights. It's a beautiful wagon, very popular with the punters. And it's a dead set steal today at just $11,990. You will not find a cheaper CX-7 luxury 4x4 wagon anywhere. So call now on 9637-5024.
Scotty, I like the sound of this one. A gunmetal grey 2004 Honda Accord.
Yeah, this is another great car, Ray. This one's a luxury sedan as well, so it comes with just about everything, like climate control, air conditioning, power steering, 6 airbags, ABS brakes, leather trim with heated front seats, cruise control, traction control, power windows, power sunroof, 16-inch alloy wheels, a sports body kit and fog lights. This one is gunmetal grey in colour. It's got the black leather trim. It's a four-cylinder automatic with all the gear, and this one's only $7,990. That's unbelievable value for an automatic Honda Accord Euro luxury. So be quick. Go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au. Or call now on 9637-5024.
Well, that is a couple of great cars that you've got for the listeners there. The CX-7, the Mazda CX-7, they are very popular cars. $11,990, that's a steal for that one. Now, I believe there's been a few listeners coming in and purchasing cars, which is always good to see, Scotty.
Yeah, there certainly has. We've had Ron McMahon from Dural. He came in during the week and bought a car off Dad. He's a long-time listener. And also Sleeman Saab from Cogra. You know, he's always ringing the program up and trying to win things himself, so he's won himself a great car from Steve Foster and Sons during the week.
Good on you, Sleeman. Good on you, Ron. And to any other listeners out there, if you're looking for a car, if they don't have it on the website, fostersqualitycars.com.au, Scotty and the team will track it down. Now, another New South Wales Cup match today for Wente. Now, Chris Sando won't be playing. Who's playing halfback for you?
Yeah, I'll have to find out, mate, now, because I'm on my way out there. We've got to get field ready and everything. But both our halves are actually out due to playing NRL. So it'll be interesting to see who Brett puts in there today.
Yeah, it was a very good win against the Warriors last week. Let's hope they can do it again. Ringrose Park today up against Newtown, 3 p.m. kickoff for that one. Good on you, Scotty. As always, fantastic.
Thanks, boys. And the Ron Massey Cupside boys are out at Windsor Sports Ground also at 3 p.m. today. So anyone out west, they can go and watch that game out there.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Scotty.
We'll speak next week, Scotty.
See you, boys.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. Check him out online, fostersqualitycars.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And Jimmy, the Waratahs, I think last night, probably their most complete performance so far this season. 32-22 against the Crusaders, which is terrific. They've gone straight to the top of the Australian Conference now prior to a two-week tour of South Africa. And Nick Phipps has been good enough to join us. Nick, good morning. And is that fair to say, Nick, probably the most complete performance so far this season by the Waratahs last night?
Good morning, boys. Yeah, I guess I think we're quite good that we really did a lot of homework during the week. We knew exactly how we wanted to play, and in patches we sort of made that sort of style that New South Wales enjoyed watching and that we would like to hang our hat on.
I read an article during the week, Nick, you talked about the grand final mentality. Did they have the grand final intensity last night for the Waratahs Crusaders game?
I think both teams did. I think they were throwing the ball around, chancing their arm. The physicality out there was amazing. And it was one of those games that was good for the people back home to watch and for us to be a part of. It's good leading forward into the back end of the season.
What's been the difference then, Nick? Because there's been a couple of games, especially early in the season, where the criticism from Michael Checker was that the physicality probably wasn't there. That seems to be something that can be a choice for a team. Why are you choosing to be more physical at this time of the year?
I guess we're sort of growing into it again. It's off the back of the season last year. It's going to be a different road this year, and the way that we've gone around things have been a bit different. It's a bit of a different mentality being, you know, the hunter, and now we're the hunter this year. And the boys sort of took a bit of time to adjust to that. And now, you know, back into the season, everyone's pretty excited to hopefully be able to lead into those final series. And this is when we need to be putting our best performances out.
Nick, your trip to South Africa, when do you leave? And are these daunting trips?
Yeah, we leave on Tuesday morning. So we've been given a few days off to sort of get the body back together. And it is a daunting trip. Playing in South Africa is a different beast. The crowds, the sort of atmosphere, they grow another leg over there on the home ground. It's going to be a tough trip for us. So I think it's great that it's part of the season for us because it's 2 weeks away from everything. It's good for the boys to get together and get nice and tight. It should be good to get over there, and then hopefully, you know, that sort of feeling can sort of blend into the back end.
And the big bonus too for New South Wales, former captain Dean Mum will be joining the side for that leg. How did that come about, and what sort of impact do you expect Dean to have, Nick?
I think we signed Mummy mid-year, and then he's been over finishing his season over in Europe, and now his season's done, so technically he signed with the club, so he's eligible to play, and he'll be meeting us in South Africa there. I think he won't get enough games to be eligible for the final series, but it'll be good to have him around the joint and getting to know the boys already and filling in a few holes now that hopefully, you know, a few of the boys will be able to rest up a little bit before the final.
And, Nick, gone to the top of the Australian Conference now and a real chance for a home final. Next 3 weeks are so crucial. How important is it to get that home final?
Home finals are pretty important, not necessarily for the players, but for the fans that sort of stuck through us through the years. We'd love to sort of reward them with a final at home at the back end of the season and make some of the other teams travel over this way. But, you know, it's a long way off. We've got three big games before that. You know, I'm pretty confident that if we can play well, then we'll get the points. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it all lies at the back end.
You were there at the World Cup in 2011. Do you keep telling Michael Checker you should be there at the World Cup in 2015, Nick?
No, I don't think he sort of... He hasn't really looked too far forward with us at the moment. We're going to finish the TAR season off first. And I think after him being there for 3 years and a lot of the senior players being there for a long time, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue that we're just completely focused on the TAR so far.
Sonny Bill Williams and Liam Messam, I believe, have put their hand up to play sevens next year. Of course, that's with rugby's involvement in the Olympic Games. You're a former sevens player. Is that something that you've considered at all, Nick?
I'd absolutely love to, but and there's a few other blokes like Bernard Foley and Luke Morahan that I'd love to do it as well, but I think it's not really up to us at the moment. I think it's up to the high beings making those decisions at the moment. The Sevens coach, he's got his
a full-time squad there, which is different to when we were playing. And, you know, there's some great players there, so we wouldn't even know if we'd make the squad. So we'll have to see how that unfolds.
But could you signal to the ARU that you'd be very interested in playing if they were wanting to select you?
I think they all know that we're interested in playing. Yeah. It's sort of been passed on through the channels. But, again, you know, Czech wants us to play 15s, and I think John Drown, the sevens coach, wants to squad there at the moment. So at the end of the day, you can't do too much, but it'll be interesting to see how it all fans out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, big games against the Lions and then the Cheetahs, and then you come back home and it's a home game against the Reds. So hopefully a good finish for the Waratahs into those semi-finals with a home semi-final and continue on to a back-to-back premiership season. Nick, appreciate your time on a Sunday morning and good luck with that recovery in the South African trip.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
There he is, Nick Phipps, one of the stars for the Waratahs.
The Tars are building.
It is good timing. You know, the similarities to last year,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. An indifferent start, but slowly that building. This is the first time I've gone to the top of the Australian Conference too, Jimmy, going past
significant.
The Brumbies. So that just almost the other chance for a top two.
Hey, mate, we better get a tip out of you. Of course, the Raiders and the Bulldogs today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a Bulldogs man today. I like the Bulldogs.
I think it's tighter than people think. I think Zorb's on the money with his Zappa at plus 10.5 with the Dogs. And then the other one, of course, is Monday night Newcastle up against a depleted Brisbane.
Yeah, I have to go Newcastle there, Jimmy.
And righto. Mm-hmm. Cast your eyes forward to Wednesday night.
Well, it's almost unfair to ask, you know. We've got two blue eyes. That's got to be the Blue Boys.
Do you really believe they can win, though?
I believe there's a good feeling in the camp. I believe Laurie can get him focused. I like that mix of youth and experience. I love that forward pack, Clemmer and Jackson, impact players. I believe they can, Jimmy.
I hope they can. I don't think they can. Late breaking news, Eurovision Song Contest update. Well done, Sweden.
We came fifth, I think.
Guy Sebastian came fifth. So well done, everyone involved in that. Now we can all go back to life. thank you, Raymond. Have a great day.
See you, Jimmy.
And, of course, on Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Racing Retro with Ronnie Duffersey, Richard Friedman and Brent Zarafa. They bring you all your Sunday morning racing news and reviews. And let's join our host right now, Matthew Browning.
A very good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for Racing Retro. It was Doomben 10,000 Day in Brisbane yesterday, and another big result for the Chris Waller stable. Beau Ban winning the 10,000. He made it 12 Group 1 wins for Chris Waller in the space of this season. And keep in mind, there's still another 5 Group 1 races to be run before the season's out, including the Queensland Oaks next week, where Chris has got the firm favourite, so it might get even better. We'll also look at good racing this morning from Randwick and also Flemington, where they had a 2 mile flat race on the program. The boys are here. Ron Duffersey was at Doomben yesterday for the 10,000. Good morning, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. An enjoyable day it was, and what a training performance, as you forecast there, by Chris Waller, to first up in a big Group 1 weight for age to get the money with Beau Ban. And boy, what a field day the New South Wales horses had there yesterday. I think they won 8 of the 9 races.
Yep, and it might continue, as I say, over the next few weeks. They've got some firepower up there. Richard Friedman is here. Good morning to you, Richard.
Morning, boys. Chris's effort to win 12 Group 1s, whether he wins another one or not, is enormous. I think Tommy Smith trained 17 Group 1s in a year once, and I think Lee Friedman trained 14. And Chris, anything above 10 is just an unbelievable effort. I saw a superstar in the making, I think, at Doomben yesterday, and I saw a ride in Melbourne that, well, it was just one for the textbook.
Okay, we'll have to dig that out. Brent Zarafa was at Randwick yesterday. Track was a heavy 10. Came up to a heavy 9, though, midway through the program for the Mackell Cup meeting. Good morning to you, Brent.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, everyone. Yes, we saw a very impressive lightly raced there in Sense of Occasion, taking out the feature event for Joe Pride. And I think that's a horse that will continue to step up as it goes through the grades. But one of the highlights for me yesterday, and it's something that probably a few people might have missed, Jack Hill, the jockey who had that nasty fall at Donald back in March, he tweeted last night that he's going to get home from hospital in 2 weeks' time, which is great news.
Fantastic. Excellent. We wish him a very, very speedy and full recovery. Viewers, if you have a comment on yesterday's racing, we'd certainly like to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter at Racing Retro. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Racing Retro, or of course through our website skyracing.tv/feedback. Alright, let's have a look at some races. We'll start with the big one in Brisbane, the Doomben 10,000. It was a wide open betting race. Srikandi was the favourite at $6.
Racing in the 10,000, not a bad start out. They all came out okay, and Tricanti began brilliantly today. It's one of the early leaders, headed now by Time for War. Fondolina, our boy Malachi, and Sacred Star are going up, and that'll leave Tricanti beautifully placed on the rail. Scissor Kick is trying to get over from an awkward gate, followed by Big Money, and they're followed by Flamingo Star, Rock Sturdy. Templar Boom a little bit deep, going up to the first corner, followed by General Ife, and then Neo, Bring Me the Maid, and getting back on the field is Charlie Boy, followed by Boban, and Noidata's last. 700 metres left to go, and Time for War, the leader. A length and a half to Fondolina. Tricanti box sitting on the fence from our boy Malachi. Scissor Kick, three deep, Templar Boom, four deep as they go past the 600. They're followed then by Flamingo Star, Sacred Star, General Ife, Big Money, then Rock Sturdy, followed by Neo, Charlie Boy, Boban, Bring Me the Maiden, Noidart. They're coming around the bend and Time for War, the leader. Here's Tricanti. She's coming up on the outside after Time for War and past the 300 metres mark. Time for War about to be joined by Tricanti, Flamingo Star, Rock Sturdy. Here's Charlie Boy and General Ife, and Boban is bursting through in the middle. Here's a great go. Boban, General Ife, and Charlie Boy, they come to the line, and Boban will win the 10,000 from either General Ife or Charlie Boy from Noidart.
I think what he's only five. There's no, it's not as if to say that he has to run in 2 weeks' time and then he has to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'd be leaning towards giving him a good proper spell, and same again in the spring. Pick off the right race and continue having some fun.
Boban, he's now won over $2 million in prize money, and he's won four Group 1 races. Yesterday, also an Epsom, an Emirates, and a Chipping Norton Stakes. And Glenn Schofield has ridden him to victory in all four of those Group 1 races, and he's joining us on Racing Retro this morning. Thanks for coming in, Glenn.
Thanks, Matt.
What got him back to winning form yesterday? I mean, his form during the autumn in Sydney was not that crash hot, to be honest. What do you think was the key to getting him back in the winner's stall?
I think obviously a winnable race, which that was yesterday, but mainly I think Chris Waller and his team we targeted where we wanted to go with him, how many runs he was going to have, tossed up between the 10,000 being his first up run or his second up run, but Chris got the mixture right. He gave him two trials, and his last one was a testing one, which was almost like a race. You know, Chris's horses don't normally have testing trials, and he had a testing trial, and then first up into the 10,000. So yeah, good performance.
He's been a great horse to you, but did you have confidence in him in going into that race to think, oh, he can win this?
Well, I know how good he is, and we spoke beforehand with the connections that if he was anywhere near his best, he'd probably win with a leg in the air. I don't think he's quite back to his best, but certainly he's back to winning form, which is, you know, which will give him a platform, hopefully, to go on from there.
Your patience around the bend when I think Blake Shin and Hugh Bowman were pushing forward and they were going to go around the field on the second and third horses, you just waited just enough time to get not have to go around them. Was that a winning move?
Well, obviously it was, but I thought to myself I was never going to win going around those two. Huey was in front of me, Blake was outside me the whole way. And when they started to go, they were flat to the boards making up ground, and I was still sitting pretty. And when you've got a Boban underneath you that travels like that, you know when you let him go he's going to finish. The only thing was, he doesn't quite like to go between horses. He likes a little bit of room, because then you can balance up and unleash, and I thought to myself, well, I can't win going around him because I've got to have to come back, let them go and then chase them. So I thought, I'll just wait for a run, and if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, well, you know, it doesn't. Fortunately, the run opened up and I put his nose in there and away he went.
Personally, it must have been quite satisfying to get another Group 1 with this horse. Plenty of people have been riding him off thinking, oh, he's past his best, he's not up to that level anymore. So what sort of satisfaction did you get out of that?
Oh, very much. He's obviously a horse that's very close to my heart, because I got on him when he had all things going wrong with him, and he started off in, I think, a rating in the 90 or 95 race, and he's worked his way through from there, and he's progressed into a genuine weight for age horse, and obviously a multiple Group 1 winner. Very satisfying to get him past the post again, because, look, whilst I rode him, and it all looks pretty on TV, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that I don't have a a great deal to do with. I don't ride him in his track work. I only ride him in his trials and his races. So the team that you know do everything at home deserve a lot more credit than is being said.
We talk about him being a bit of a you know a hard horse to ride. What is the worst thing that he does?
Well, he just wants to go flat out from he's the dumb. Get-go. Well, he's you know, all race horses are bred to go quick. His brain is bred to go quick. You know, he just wants to jump and run, and he's competitive from the outset. He has learned to a certain degree not to come out the gates and want to run. But then once he's in the run, then he still wants to climb over the top of them. So you really just got to sit really quiet wherever you end up.
And if you move, he takes advantage of
that. You just move your hands a little bit, yeah. and he's on his way.
Yeah.
I remember saying to Nash once when I was suspended and Nash rode him, I said, don't think you can try and pinch half length and be that little bit closer than you are. I said, because he'll just...
He'll go.
And that happened with Nash. And unless you've got a little bit of experience on him, you really don't know what to expect from him. But he's a fiery fella. He's a lovely horse to ride because you know that when you ask him to go, he's going to give you everything.
He goes quickly.
Sorry, Matt. The strap broke. He's going to be up in the weights. He usually gets better after a run. Could he win a strap broke?
Look, handicaps are probably difficult for him to win. I remember he won the Emirates with a big weight, and he only sort of just got there. But that was at the end of a long campaign. I don't say he can't win a strap broke because he's a seriously good horse. But horses that were a little bit closer to him yesterday, he'll be giving them a lot of weight.
Is he going well enough to give that much weight away?
He's not. I don't think he's at his best, but a win like yesterday will certainly give him the confidence to go out there and do his best again, where his last prep and a half, he hasn't had that confidence going. I didn't feel that confidence in him.
Let's have another look at the replay. Ron, were there any hard luck streaks? What happened to Srikandi? She sort of loomed up there and looked a real winning chance.
You'd have to say she was one of the disappointments of the race. I thought on the point of the turn, she's just cruised up, and I thought this race is all over. But she did not finish the race off. whether the fence had gone off by this race, because 1, 2, 3 and maybe even 4 come right down the outside here, and it just maybe the track had turned by this stage, because then the last winner sits 3 deep, no cover, and wins as well. So maybe that was a little flattering, and maybe we should give a tick to horses like Rock Sturdy on the inside.
That was a good run, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He battled away strongly on
still
the fence.
Still a long
there.
Way back. But look, I thought General Ife, Godolphin's got him flying. I didn't think Charlie Boy was that good a horse, but you have to give him a big tick with these 2 runs back now.
Glenn's saying he's been gelded.
That's the key to him.
Yeah, I used to ride him as a 2-year-old.
Yep.
And he
always wanted gelding.
An unbelievable amount of ability, but he just didn't put it all together. He wanted to wander left, wander right, get his nose close to other horses' bums, and you know he just wasn't concentrating. And I remember when Gerald had him, we used to basically every time we worked him or galloped him, especially raced him, would tell him the connections, he probably would be better off being a gelding. And I think they're now reaping that decision to give him that unkind operation.
of the beat brigade there, the second, third and fourth horse all progressing towards a Stradbroke, which you'd imagine. John O'Shea was obviously quite pleased with the performances of both Neudart and General Leafe. The disappointment of the run, I thought, was Scissor Kick, raced well below his best. Speaking with Paul Massaro this morning, he can't put the disappointing run down to anything at this stage. He's still quite perplexed by it. Glenn Boss said maybe the horse has just come to an end. He's had a pretty long campaign. The plan was to go to the Stradbroke, but whether that still happens is up in the air. But there's going to be a tight tussle at the top of the market there for the Stradbroke, because we're going to see the weights come out tomorrow. And you've got a couple of horse fillies there at the top. One, Najum, who's not nominated. Connections need to pay a $30,000 late entry fee, which you'd imagine they would if they want to run. But Lamosti, she's still probably borderline even getting a start in the race. So we're going to find out a little bit more when the weights come out tomorrow.
Glenn's boy Chad is over in England at the moment. He's having a stint over there for, a couple of months?
Yeah, he's there for about 3 months, yeah.
How's he going?
He's working hard, which is the purpose of his trip there. Gaining experience and seeing how it's done in other areas of the world. He's been quite vocal in his amazement of how different training and racing is over there compared to here. So he's gaining a lot of experience. He's had a few rides. He hasn't had a winner yet. But he's absolutely loving it.
We were discussing earlier, it's the exposure to
other methods, other great professionals, other, that's the benefit of it, not necessarily getting as many rides as
not necessarily
can.
The success you have on the racetrack, but he'll come back without realising he's gained a lot of experience and he'll be doing things that he's learnt on his travels.
Subconsciously.
Subconsciously, correct. Yeah.
Well, Glenn, just before you go, the next race we're going to look at on Retro is the Size Produce Stakes. Bring a secret. Just give us a comment there before we have a look at
He's just a big baby. I think my comments to the connections when he won at Canterbury, he's like a kid in grade 8 who's 6 foot, you know, and he's just all legs and gangly, and when his physique catches up to his body and he strengthens up and his mind gets there, he'll be a nice horse, but he's just a bit new at the stage.
Because when he burst through on the inside, he looked like he was just going to race away and win easy.
Yeah, look, Nick's got blinkers on him to try and keep him a bit more tractable because he's quite wayward. And I think getting to a position where he was right behind the hot speed probably just took a little bit off him late. Okay. In the race, he was entitled to sort of finish his race off a little bit better, because when he got to the front, he was only there briefly, and the outside two collared him quite quickly. I would have been happy to have seen him hold on for third, but he weakened out slightly to run a fifth.
Okay. Personally, yourself, you're happy with the way things are going with your riding?
Look, after yesterday, it's obviously a bit better. It's been very quiet for some time, but obviously you get a little bit of momentum and some winners, and I'm hoping for it to pick up from you.
Is it more difficult when you become older, that the racing public becomes less forgiving of a form lapse or a form lull?
Without doubt. You know, you're as good as your last winner, and you can't win on horses that can't win.
Mm.
So whilst you're not getting quality rides, it's very difficult. You're in a... It's a lose-lose situation, whereas when you're getting winning rides and you're winning on them, it's a win-win situation.
Mm. It's spiralling up or spiralling down.
Well, that's right, yeah. And hopefully I'm spiralling
up now.
Okay. All right, Glenn, we'll have a look at a few other races, but thanks for coming in. Well done on Boban yesterday.
Thanks very much.
So it's a great partnership, Glenn Schofield and Boban. All right, let's go to that Size Produce over 1,350 metres. Blueberry Hill was the favourite for this one at $4.40.
Followed by Blueberry Hill, Payroll, Major Console. Now Counter-Attack's drifting a long way back early. They're followed then by Cylinder Beats, and then comes Single Gaze. It's a long way back in company with Typing and Shadow Lorna's last. Plenty of speed on at the 800. Pepperano 1.5 to Wicked and 10, and Bring a Secret in third. In his stride races fourth, a couple to Look to the Stars, Star of Knights on the fence. Then Blueberry Hill, followed by Zara Bay. Counter-Attack improving. He's midfield. He's going through near the inside. Then Payroll, followed by Typing. Cylinder Beats, and then Major Console, followed by Single Gaze and Shadow Lawn. They're on the bend in the Size, and Pepperano first for home. A length over Wicked and 10. Bring a Secret on the fence. Any Strider's called upon with Look to the Stars. Blueberry Hill is coming down the outside and Counter-Attacks in traffic. Pepperano led up the 200. Bring a Secret. Wicked and 10 on the outside. Look to the Stars, and Blueberry Hill is coming down the extreme outside. Look to the Stars, and Blueberry Hill have taken the lead together. Look to the Stars is going better, and Look to the Stars beat Blueberry Hill and Cylinder Beach.
Jumped a lot better than what I did last time I rode him and rode her, and look, we were able to take up a better position than last start, and look, I knew that if she could put in the same sort of run as last start, she would just run over top of him. Like,
well, Look to the Stars, you might remember this filly was scratched from the Golden Slipper the day before the race with a foot abscess. So that was certainly disappointing for them, but they've got it right now, and it'll be on to the Group 1 race up there. That was 1350 for the two-year-olds. The Group 1, the JJ Atkins, is 1600 metres. And the way she hit the line there, looks like she'll get a mile.
Yeah, she should. It was a lovely ride by Tarrant. I don't know if he'll be able to ride her after yesterday, but anyway, she's one tough filly. I reckon that's about her eighth run in her first racing preparation. Mm. She seems to have been up forever. She found the beautiful drag into the race there and got the job done in a group race. So Blueberry Hill was brave again. There's nothing wrong with her form. She's yet to finish further back than second. I'm just a little worried about these two-year-olds up there this year. I don't think they're...
Not a standout lot.
No, they're not up to the standard we're used to.
Well, I think in the Queensland Carnival, you've got to get a star two-year-old. Mm. That something's got to stand out, and then you think, well, that's the one to follow.
The run of the race was 101 chance, Cylinder Beach. Mm. You know, like that's a bit of a concern.
Just one second. Just before we're watching Blueberry Hill here, she was the one that came to the outside in the two white colours there on the outside. She's the one on the extreme outside. Now she's gone three deep the entire journey, and as you said, Ronnie, she's only small and she's battled on really bravely. She's had a bit of racing now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon they're at a crossroads with her. Do you go on and keep giving it to her, or do you put her away for another year, next season,
and hope she comes back?
Yeah,
it's a tricky one. And look, and probably the horse on everyone's lip is Counterattack. The timing's there for him, and the mile looks good for him. But he's crying out for a bigger track, but it's not going to happen this year.
No, it's not going to.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the quality aspect of are they strong this year? The last two winners of the JJ Atkins have come from a run in Sydney. Mm. In a midweek race and a Saturday race going on to Almalad won a Saturday race at 1200 and went straight to 1600. The year before, Romantic Time won a race at 1550 at Canterbury and then went up there. So don't be surprised to see something come out of the woodwork late and attack into this group.
Well, I think that's happened this Wednesday and next Saturday. So maybe we should be looking.
Well, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday?
And a horse that comes out of that could be So Willie attacking the line running second.
I like him.
He's a $15 chance, and we all know what Chris Waller can do with a horse on a group one day.
Been a very good launching pad. The JJ Atkins and its various names over the years, right back to the Castlemaine Classic for future stars. Clary has won the JJ Atkins twice previously, a Persu and Mossman. We'll see if he can do it again with Look to the Stars. As we take a short break on Racing Retro, well, let's have a look at a few other races on the program there in Brisbane.
Former Victorian Havastan was sent out favourite for the first race on 10,000 Day after two promising runs for new trainer Tony Golan. But the Fastnet Rock Entire was never a hope after somehow being posted three wide from barrier one, leaving a last start Wagga Cup place getter to take the spoils.
They start to quicken the tempo at the 500 where Faust is the leader. A length over Wish Come True. Now Havastan given a cut with the whip on the outside. Belagari on the fence and then High Sun Villanova. They're coming around the bend, 3:50 to go, and Faust the leader, Wish Come True, is coming after it on the outside from Belagari, then High Sun and Havastan and Jet Set Loud and Villanova on the fence inside the 200. Faust, Wish Come True, Belagari trying to get up on the fence. Belagari coming up on the inside of Faust, who's still the leader. He's fighting on all of the way. Faust, you lead all of the way. He'll beat Belagari.
You know, it's well documented, the horse been in work a long time. But, you know, in that time he's had a few little trips out to the paddock where he's spent, you know, 7 or 10 days and freshening him up. And I think I'm just getting to know the horse. Really? So we've got some exciting times ahead.
Last start, Randwick Group 2 winner Delectation brought a touch of class to the listed handicap over 1,200 metres. Chris Waller's three-year-old had to give way all round to his elders and was a noted drifter in betting, but still turned in a slashing Stradbroke trial behind an impressive first-up winner for Kelso Wood.
Lee Kappa's in the middle. Excellent Age back on the fence from Dream of Slips, and now Come Dividends getting a good run in the middle. Delectation's near last. Rocket to Glory led 300 metres to go. Whiskey around coming after him. Lee Kappa's next into the red, getting up on the fence with Excellent A's, and here's Delectation. He's out wide on the track, into the red, went through on the inside, they're coming after him, but into the red's dashed away from them by Monashy and Delectation next, but into the red won by 2.5 to by Monashy.
Yeah, we gave him a little bit of a break in that, and we brought him back for the carnival. He had a little bit of a setback, otherwise he would have been a bit more forward, but he would have liked to have tried to get him into the Stradbroke, but as it turned out, we'll just stick to the 1200s, I think.
The money was down for Sydney visitor Strawberry Boy in the Lord Mayor's Cup over a mile. Third up for Chris Waller, the reduced choice gelding broke well in the Group 3 under Zach Purton and dictated turns to lead throughout from another galloper backing up after an unplaced effort in the Scone Cup.
And Hofgarten and Lucky Largo are trying to improve. 3:50 to go, turning for home, and Strawberry Boy raced away, three clear. Elmer's Fury out after him. Lucky Largo on the fence, followed by I'm Imposing and Hofgarten and Be What You Want to Be, but Strawberry Boy sail past the 200, he's three in front. Lucky Largo going in a second position, trying to chase, got absolutely no hope. He's home, Strawberry Boy, and Strawberry Boy raced away, beat Lucky Largo.
It means a lot to Mr. Singleton and all the team at Strawberry Hill, and yeah, they're very fond of him, as we are, and he tries hard, and he just needs the races run a certain way, which he has to make himself, and when he does it that way, he's too good for them.
Despite Trevor Lobb from Emirates Park stating that Hawkesbury Guineas winner Najoom would not head to the Stradbroke regardless of a victory in the Fred Best Classic, his resolve will have been tested by the filly's exciting performance in the Group 3 after being caught three wide without cover throughout the race.
Mr. Cha-Cha's on the fence, followed by De Heros and Sarajevo, an extra kindled power. They're followed by Miss Cover Girl trying to pick up ground. Silent Whisper on the fence, and then Staviva as they come around the bend. 3:50 to go. Traveston, Girl and Lucky Tomlid. Najoom's never been on the track. She's been called upon, followed by Mr. Cha-Cha, Sarajevo. They get to the 200, and Najoom went past Lucky Tom. Traveston, Girl, Miss Cover Girl gets in the clear, but Najoom got away at the 100. Little Miss Cover Girl trying hard in second spot, but Najoom, she's good Najoom. She went home one by 3.5.
She's the most improved filly I've got from training, and she was coasting along. Once she got into a rhythm about the 5, and then by the 4, the 800 metres, she was really tracking. You sort of said, how far is she going to win by? And she did exactly that.
Coming up, we stick around at Doomben as both genders of the classic generation go on trial for Queensland's Oaks and Derby.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming which is simulcast from Sky Racing 1 on Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the Programs tab.
Now for the latest offer from the tab. This NBA playoffs, back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
They told me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this.
You are the king. Play Good Game Empire in app or browser at goodgame.com.au.
Hi, Nick Price here for Blue Blood Thoroughbreds. I think this is our next really nice horse. She was the top end of the Sydney Classic Sale. She's a real sniffle filly. Look at the pedigree. It matches the horse. Real strong, sprinting sort of filly. Contact Carol at Blue Blood Thoroughbreds on the website and secure your share sooner rather than later, because she's got a lot going for her, this filly, and I don't think she'll last that long.
For the latest offer from the tab. This NBA playoffs, back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
You can play the part or break the mold.
What a lovely day. Third, Lead Hustle next on the fence. 2.5, The Glitter Face, followed by Rather Heroic. Exquisite Jewelers midfield on the fence. Then Artistic Choice, Yulong Baby. Now Platinum Witness has come away from the fence. Still back fourth last, but can go forward when it wants to. And they're followed by Elusive Catch, Photocracy. And No Tricks is last of all. Bohemian Lily at the 700 metres mark. 2 to Colin Lil. They're about four then to What a Lovely Day. Lead Hustle, followed by Glitter Face, Rather Heroic. Exquisite Jewelers next year. They want to get moving. There's back markers. Platinum Witnesses trying to come into it. Then Artistic Choice and Yulong Baby's picking up ground, but these two are a mile in front. And Bohemian Lily round to the home turner, put three on Colin Lil. A similar margin. What a Lovely Day. Where are the rest of them? Followed by Rather Heroic, but Bohemian Lily came past the 200 metres mark. 2.5 make it. Three in front of Colin Lil. They're followed by What a Lovely Day, but Bohemian Lily has run them absolutely ragged. And Bohemian Lily raced away. Way won by 4 to Colin Lil. What a Lovely Day. We'll just grab third.
All of a sudden the pennies really, really dropped, and I thought there was probably only one or two really to beat, and I knew if she could get into a rhythm, that's what she lacked the other day. It was a little bit stop-start, and she just couldn't get into a rhythm, and it'll take a very good horse to beat her next Saturday, I can tell you.
Doomben Roses, Bohemian Lily. Gay's been having a good carnival up there with Paul O'Shea, won a Toowoomba Cup, Doomben Cup, and we saw Najoom before the break. And now she's got a genuine Oaks contender here with Bohemian Lily. She took up the running there yesterday and they couldn't reel her in. They couldn't get near her.
Gay is having a big carnival. They're winning, and they're winning with their heads on their chest.
It's extraordinary the way they're winning. I mean, Paul O'Shea winning by five, Bohemian Lily there just racing away in front and getting further in front, Najoom sitting three deep without cover and racing away. It's having an extraordinary run.
Obviously a great Oaks trial. I'm worried about the race. There was a long tail to that. There was a couple of Kiwis coming off long preparations who looked her dangers, and I don't think they performed.
And there's a few other fillies going to be there next week that obviously weren't there yesterday.
Well, just Frank Ballet Suite's form. Who seemed to outstay Bohemian Lily last time, and Colin Lill was in that race as well, so we can get a line through that, or maybe she's going to another level. Only next week will tell. But look, that's how you want a filly going into the Oaks. How she's going to recover from that, I'd say she'd be okay. She's got the bone and muscle of the Waterhouse team. But the Oaks has become all of a sudden, although this was a nothing race.
I shouldn't say that, they're fence people, but
no.
They're not up to anything more than what they're doing.
Yeah. But I think this Oaks is going to be all right. I think it's going to be all right. Well, there we go there. We've got Winx, who we're still the name on everyone's lips from last week. Bohemian Lily, great yesterday. Sabrina, well, what about her yesterday?
Well,
she should have bolted.
That's a massive overreaction to the market, surely. $6.50. I know she probably should have won yesterday, but you could have taken $3.10 there in a restricted race at Randwick, and now you're going to dive into $6.50 against four pretty good fillies.
Ballet Suite, $8, who beat on a merits Bohemian Lily last time, and Ungrateful Ellen, Unlucky in Adelaide, that's a bit more interest to the race.
She's definitely going there. I spoke with Robert Smurton last night. He's very keen to see Ungrateful Ellen run over the Oaks trip. One that's not going to be there, who's been sort of firming from big odds, is from the David Van Dyke stable, La Special. She ran second during the week to Campania. I spoke with him this morning. Unlikely to run in the Oaks, more heading towards the Guineas, and then or possibly staying in Sydney for a race at Randwick. But he said he was hoping to get it for the Oaks. It's just probably not happening. It's just happened a little bit too soon.
I don't want to seem like a condescending old fart, which I probably am.
Yeah. But you got something right this morning, anyway.
I love the exuberance of your youth, because if you try and apply too much logic to racing, you will become very frustrated and a condescending old fart. That's what will happen.
Thanks, Richard.
Give him time. All right, that was the fillies. Let's go to the Colts and Geldings now. They shaped up in the Grand Prix Stakes, a traditional lead up towards the Queensland Derby. Saddler's Prince was the favourite for this race at $3.50.
Saddler's Lake.
Dylan about midfield, and they're followed then by Luco Blue, and Backman is just back in behind them, one away from the fence, and Quick Strike's a length and a half away on the fence. Reckless Abandon's outside him, followed by Worthy Cause, and then comes Harry, and together Last Sam to Hero, and the outsider Lord Disick to the next corner. 900 metres left to go. Gee, there's a bit of pressure here. Gee, Saddler's Lake, he's under siege a long way out here. Inauguration, Luco Blue and Jumbo Pritz. It's a line of four as they coming down the side of the track. Redoutable Heart on the fence just behind those. Rodan Drive not far away. Up and in between runners, and then Reckless Abandon. Backman's back behind those. Master of Arts is trying to get up on the fence. Quick Strike will come to the outside from Chillin with Dylan, followed by Harry Worthy Cause, Lord Disick, Sam to Hero. Saddler's Lake and Jumbo Prince led for home at the 300. Up and in the clear, inauguration running on Redoutable Heart. Master of Arts trying to get up on the fence from Reckless Abandon. It's Saddler's Lake in front up the 200 metres mark, but Upham has sprinted quickly on the outside, and Upham shortly afterwards raced to the lead with 100 to go. Master of Arts and Redoutable Heart getting home well, but it's Upham. Upham has won from either Redoutable Heart or Master of Arts, and Chillin with Dylan's fourth.
Began only fairly today, and there was a bit of a brouhaha getting to the winning post the first time, and I was sort of had to sit and just wait and see how it was going to unfold, and I was lucky because we ended up sliding into a lovely spot.
All right, Saddler's Lake was the favourite for that race too. He had to do a bit of work yesterday. But in the Grand Prix, Upham, Peter Moody, there's a bit of a story behind that horse too. Peter Moody had trouble selling shares in that galloper as a young horse, so he now owns 85% of the horse. He was left with 85% of the horse. Not a bad one to end up with. He'll go to the Derby, of course, where he's quite well fancied. And Peter's also pretty happy with Inauguration. He ran yesterday and finished well back, but he believes there's a few excuses here.
I'd like to buy one of them horses that Peter Moody can't sell, Dissident.
They go all right, don't they?
What a ride. It was a beautiful ride by Kieran McAvoy. And the horse is Mr. Consistency. He's been really good all the way through, running good races. He's honest and probably hasn't got the accolades he deserves. Saddler's like, they made him do a little bit of work to get across. And I thought the mistake was from Blake, who doesn't make many, mind you. I thought he slowed up. He asked to be attacked. He tried to slow up too much in the running. Mm. He really wanted to be attacked. This third horse, Master of Design, Master of Arts, he's my Derby horse.
That was a beautiful run, wasn't it?
You would have seen him in the yard. He was like a hairy goat.
Yeah?
he's out in the... He must be out in the sticks there at Ballarat. Right. Darren,
it gets cold out there, you know. They need a bit of a goat.
So he's got to take some improvement.
We're not hard into winter, but I reckon with 2 weeks Queensland...
there.
2 weeks Queensland sun on his back, this horse is going to throb.
Yeah, he's a beauty. Look at him there. He's back on the fence. Three back on the fence in the white cap, his grey horse. He went to the outside, got blocked, went back to the inside... got blocked again. Now he sees a gap out wide. He has to come across the heels. He's lost all his momentum. Here come these runners down the outside. They've got momentum. He's just trying to regather his. We're looking at the third horse here, and he hits the line really well. Not taking anything away from the winner. It was a lovely ride from Kieran, and it was a winning ride.
The big news out of the race has been the ride of Luke Tarrant. Now, he's already been charged with careless riding and copped an 8-meeting suspension for that, so he'll miss Stradbroke Day. He's out from the 27th of May to the 8th of June. But following this, he's also been charged with reckless riding, which is a serious charge. You don't often see that in big races and big carnivals. It certainly is not a common occurrence. And he'll have an inquiry on Tuesday. The matter was adjourned because his master wasn't there being apprenticed yesterday, so that has been put on till Tuesday. And speaking to a couple of the jockeys last night following the incident, usually they're quite matey with their fellow riders and sticking up for them. He certainly wasn't getting any favours from his fellow riders, which is not a good sign.
I want to say something about him. I've been a big fan of his because I can see the amount of talent that he's got, Luke Tarrant. But I'll tell you, he's at a crossroads. I've seen a million of them. You have too. They young blokes with enormous amounts of ability who get... They come to a fork in the road and they go the wrong way. They go the right way, they become D. Oliver, they become Glenn Boss, they become... Name all the top jockeys, Hugh Bowman, anybody. You go the wrong way, and I'm telling you, there's a pile of them at the end of that road that would have been good jockeys that are just on the scrap heap now. He is at a crossroads, that boy, and a very important one right now.
So this reckless riding, it would come with a fairly significant penalty, I would
generally
imagine.
Generally, it's the sort of general pattern. So, obviously, there was a severe interference going into the first turn with some leading jockeys having to really take evasive action to not hit the deck. Look, I haven't seen all the evidence. I wasn't there on course, but it doesn't seem... he might get away
his
with
it. His fellow riders were
that's the damning stat.
He's lost their support.
Yes, and that is why he's at the fork in the road now.
Well, let's hope he takes the right path. Let's have a look at the market for the Derby at Durban. Not Eagle Farm this year, of course. Master of Arts. Seems like everyone's onto it.
Yeah,
$4 now.
I wonder if any of these fillies will back up if they run well.
Interesting, reading the press out of Brisbane this morning, even though he won the race, Peter Moody, he was basically pumping up an inauguration as the horse he thinks will win the Derby. It's not even in the top eight of betting there. So
very bullish, wasn't he?
It might be something to take note of there with inauguration, who certainly was one horse that copped a lot of that interference early and got shuffled back through the field.
I think the other one's about $17 or $18 at the moment, inauguration. Okay, let's have a look at one more from Brisbane. Race 2, Glen Logan Park Stakes, fillies and mares, $13.50. I've got the looks favourite.
She's out three wide. They're followed by She's Clean in between horses. Gold Slick on the fence. Jazz Song back to second last. And Perona's last. On the corner, 500 metres to go. Sancerre, any day will do. Solicit trying to get off the fence. Tukio and Hare's Peace Force cut loose quickly on the outside. Discreet trying to get onto its back. And I've Got the Looks is going to chase from the back with Jazz Song. 250 metres left to go. And Peace Force went to the lead. Solicit on the fence. Tukio is still there. I've Got the Looks and Discreet trying to get home well. But it's Peace Force and Tukio and Solicit on the fence. Peace Force on the outside and Solicit are the two. They come to the line and Peace Force just beat Solicit.
The winner will stay here and run in the Dane Ripper in a fortnight, and the other mare will go home and won't run again till the Tats Tiara. And once you get to that, she's found her form, she's in good form, and she'll meet all these mares at level weights, not be giving them 4 kilos.
The Quinella there had run first and second last start in the Darley Crown at Rose Hill. On that occasion, Solicit beat Peace Force, but Peace Force got the win on Saturday, but not by much.
Yeah, look, she took benefit from that run where she resumed without a trial, and Gerald's done a great job with both of those mares, and maybe you still both have a little upside left for this carnival. The only other horse I want to mention out of that race is that Perron. What a forgetful preparation she's had. I reckon she's had five runs and run into trouble
time for that lovely big paddock and meet a nice fella.
You'd have another throw at the stumps with her and then she can go to stud, but she can run in the Tats Tiara or one of the mares races up there.
Gerald Ryan's, as you mentioned, has done an amazing job with Peace Force. He's had her for 10 runs. Mm. She's had five wins, 3 seconds, a third and a fifth. And she's risen from basically benchmark restricted races to winning a Group 3. So he's certainly been able to coast her rise to the top, and as he mentioned in that interview, she goes towards the Dane Ripper, where Solicit won't have another run until the Tats Tiara.
Okay, the Dane Ripper is June 6th, and the Sky Racing Tattersalls Tiara, which is going to be run at the Gold Coast this year, usually Eagle Farm, but at Big Tattersalls meetings at the Gold Coast on the 20th of June. That's actually the last Group 1 race of the season. Time for a short break. We'll come back with Melbourne, Sydney, and a few other tracks right after this.
Up next, we review other pattern races around the country, including the McKell Cup at Royal Randwick and Flemington's other two-miler.
They told me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this.
You are the king. Play Good Game Empire in app or browser at goodgame.com.au.
Windows 2-in-1 device with Intel inside from Harvey Norman. Works like a PC, but plays like a tablet. This HP Spectre with the latest 5th generation Intel Core i5 processor. Just $1,464. Save $200 on the super thin ASUS T300 Transformer Box. Or get started with a T100 2-in-1 powered by quad-core Atom processor. Only $457. More great 2-in-1 deals at Harvey Norman now.
One lucky punter each week gets the chance to win up to $350,000 in one race on one runner.
Could it be you?
Enter today's code for your chance to win.
Savoir Triunfo is making a grand around the outside. Vardu Boy is continuing his move. Shoreham next the fence. They're bunching a little now. In that bunch too is Sontag. Zabillionaire pushing up between horses. La Amistad's coming right around the outside. She's putting in a pretty good run too out there in the Maccabi colours. Into the straight they race now. And Luciola the leader from Ancient King. And out deep on the course, La Amistad finishing it off well. Ahead of Sontag, and Crafty Cruisers made ground out wide on the course. Luciola the leader. 400 metres left to go. A couple of links to La Amistad, Ancient King, then Sontag and Zabillionaire, and further out was Crafty Cruiser, but Luciola's still in front. Heads to the 200, La Amistad getting closer with every stride now. It's La Amistad racing up on the outside and going to the lead. The mares are 1-2, but La Amistad, this is her race. La Amistad won it by 2 lengths. Second photo finish between Zabillionaire and Luciola ahead of Sontag.
The truth was, it was this time last year when she won the stakes race in Sydney, and she became instant second favourite in the race called the Melbourne Cup, and that was a bit of not, and that's not her fault. I mean, she wasn't good enough, and I said it publicly, and you know, all of a sudden she went from second favourite to out the door and didn't even make the field. So she's starting to do it on her own accord now, so which is great.
She is, of course, a three-quarter sister to the great Mackayvie Diva. Sat back in the field there, relaxed nicely, Richard, ran out the 2 miles, and, well, she's certainly bred to run 2 miles, we know that.
She's not Mackayvie, but she's a lovely mare, and she did a great job there, and she's improving with age, as Mackayvie Diva did. She got better. Her best preparation was her last one, Mackayvie, so yeah, there's every chance that she'll keep improving. Whether that goes to Melbourne Cup standard or not, I couldn't tell you, probably not. But if you've got an apprentice at school, or you're a young apprentice and you want to improve your rides, go and look at that ride of Damien Oliver on that mare, La Amistad. He was last out of the straight. He was the first one to give up on the run to the first corner. He just said, there you all go, right? Dropped back last. He was last till the 1,400 metres. Then he thought, I better find a way into this race because these aren't great horses and neither she, so I can't make a flashing run on this. So he found someone who wanted to go forward, and he just followed it forward, and then she dropped off the horse that was going forward, and he thought, uh-oh, someone might duck out in front of me here. So he chased up again. He was back on the back of it. When it got tired about the corner, he peeled off outside it and thought, I've got to be on top of the pacemakers here on the corner, because in two-mile races, not many horses flash home. You see the odd one. We saw Protectionist do it last year, but in a Melbourne Cup. But not many times it happens. And he put her right there, and she just ground away. I felt sorry for the grey mare,
Luciola
on the fence. She battled really hard and just got collared out of the place getters there. Sontag, the weight was probably just a little too much for him. But an absolute textbook ride from Ollie there.
It was pretty to watch, wasn't it? And look, great story, the family tradition with the mare, Chigila, and the 2 miles, or the affinity with the 2 miles at Flemington. It's a good story. Melbourne Cup winner.
I think there's already a market out for the Melbourne Cup through TAB.
Was there an overreaction yesterday?
Well, not under $26.
That's a surprise.
Well, she did finish third in the Lexus last year behind Sign Off, who's the favourite there at $16.
She's a lovely mare.
She, form at Flemington over a staying trip, it hasn't really been that bad. Like she's
$41.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if I want to be taking $41, but she may end up getting there and could be there on the day, and good luck if she does.
On this day 12 months ago, or yesterday 12 months ago, she won the Mackell Cup up in Sydney. We'll get to that race in just a moment. But let's have a look at one more from Flemington. The Straight Six, a listed race there. Lamosti was the hot favourite here, $1.55 favourite.
With Lavonsu leading the division out towards the middle of the track. He's in front of second as Reparations over on the outside, followed by Pago Rock, and just in behind them, Lamosti, right on the back of Reparations, followed by Lucky For You, and at the end of the field is Good Value. Coming down towards the 500 metres now, not much between these divisions, with the Circus leading Sino Eagle and Aeronautical up the middle of the course now, and the leader is Le Bon Sir, with Lamosti in the white blinkers and Reparations both making their runs together, and Pago Rock is boxing on there right across the track nearing the 200 metres, and Dwayne is now starting to get to work on the favourite Lamosti. She's raced up, Aeronautical on the far side and Pago Rock in the middle, but it's Lamosti with her head full of running, and Lamosti comes away the favourite one it easily by a couple of lengths.
I mean, it's 2 weeks to the 1350 either way, and then 2 weeks to the Tiara. I mean, she got to run the Stradbroke, you'd roll the dice, 3-year-olds and all that, and then you've got two chances at a Group 1. I mean, she's won a Group 2. The only way we can further enhance her value is to get a Group 1, some Group 1 form there next to her, so, but she's going the right way.
She certainly is. Lamosti, she's now won 2 out of 2 this preparation, and she's earned that trip to Queensland with that win. Richard, hopefully she'll get a run in the Stradbroke handicap. That's I guess, the only obstacle.
Yes, that will be the challenge with her, but it was a very good win. She's having a brilliant preparation. Her turn of foot is great. Najum Lamosti. Najum's win was better yesterday than Lamosti's, but Lamosti's still right there having a great prep. Look, there was a minor protest in that race, Reparations and Lavonsa. I still can't work out how it wasn't upheld. If Lavonsa, I know Lamosti contributed to it by rolling in a little bit, but Lavonsa was the main protagonist here and squeezed out Reparations. If Lebonser's not there, Reparations runs a clear second. So I don't know how it didn't get upheld, but it didn't.
Yeah, look, there's contributing factors there. I'd like to see more of a head-on.
Yes, he probably needs.
Speaking of Lamosti, now, I had a chat with Nathan Exelby, one of the journalists from the Courier-Mail in Brisbane, and he was of the belief that she would be around 45th on the order of entry before her win yesterday for the Stradbroke. He had information that she'd probably lift to about 28th after her win. So they run 16 in the Stradbroke. broke, so she still needs some attrition. But his belief was, in the past sort of 5 to 10 years, if you're under 30 at this time of the year, you'd get into the Stradbroke. There is that sort of level of attrition. So it's still going to be a bit of a waiting game, but if you had to take a bet at this point, I'd be pretty sort of leaning towards the fact that she will get a run in the Stradbroke.
If I was having a bet at this point, I'd be waiting till I get the proper order of bets before I put my money on
but
it. In
an all-in market. I'm talking if you're actually having a bet whether she gets in or not.
No,
saying she'll probably get in.
2 3-year-old fillies at the top of the market there for the Stradbroke. Let's have a look at Sydney's feature race. It was the Mackell Cup over 2,400 metres. Sense of Occasion was the favourite here at $2.90.
Destiny's Kiss cutting up three deep with cover from Major Major and Planet Purple's last of the race down the side of the course, and Singing Flame at the 650 leads from our Voodoo Prince. Clark gets itchy fingers now in Sense of Occasion taking closer order. Cardiff Prince in the pale blue strides to fourth and phrases the fence. Jojo Girls under the pump. Further back to Bagman, Planet Purple, Destiny's Kiss and Major Major still back last into the straight, and it's Singing Flame being tackled by our Voodoo Prince, and our Sense of Occasion quickly put pay to them at the 250, and Sense of Occasion's drawn clear from Singing Flame at our Voodoo Prince. Jojo Girl and Cardiff Prince, Major Major, not in the hunt today. It's Sense of Occasion in front. Is he following it through? Singing Flames fighting back on the inside. Clark gets desperate on Sense of Occasion, goes into another gear, and Sense of Occasion beats Singing Flame in the Mackell Cup.
His first go at the 2400. This Pep, he's got there pretty quickly. He went 14 a mile, 2000 straight the 24. I think he'll be improved with the run, but really happy to see him do that today.
The late Guy Walter had a very high opinion of this horse, Sense of Occasion. He's with Joe Pride now, of course, and look, he seems to have a bit of a future. Do you think he could develop Richard into a top line start?
Just looking at Joe there, I thought Joe looked like he just stepped out of a Mustang with those glasses on. But look, I think this horse is an up and coming star. Now, it's probably the big challenge for Joe as a trainer now to prove himself as a very good trainer of stayers. He's proved himself as a great trainer of sprinter milers. Now, this is a challenge, and every trainer has challenges. It doesn't matter how good you are, how big you are, there are challenges. Chris Waller, the challenge is to win a Golden Slipper, to win a great two-year-old race. So it's not a criticism, but this is the horse that's probably got enough ability to go to that next level and take Joe there as a trainer as well. The on-pace runners dominated that race. Nothing came from a long way back in that race, and I thought the second horse was very brave. But if you notice that in the run, when we have a look at it, if we can have a look at it again, I'm not sure we can, the winner, Sense of Occasion, he floated. As soon as he got to the lead, he was sort of floating around, and when the other horse came up, he got going again.
He floated because Timmy Clark dropped his whip.
Ah.
And I thought, I wanted to go and get it for him there about 50 metres to go, because he was he was floating. He was going to race away, and he says, I'll have a little stargaze. This jockey doesn't want any more from me.
Yeah, exactly. Is that replay wrong?
Yeah, here he is. So I think
it's right about the 200 metre mark. You can really see the whip come forward out of Tim Clark's right hand.
Yeah. And this was Singing Flame. He just doesn't help himself. All he wants to do is fight the rider. If he learned how to relax, he'd be a pretty good horse, this Singing Flame. He handles all types of conditions. But look, I like this horse. He had a flat prep last prep. He's always been a horse with a ability, and nice horse, I think.
Yeah, this is where he's floating. You see him looking around.
You don't want to hit me anymore.
Yeah, let's have a bit of fun
here. I think he had a rouse at him there, and
Tim Clark's having a terrific run too. That was winning treble yesterday for Tim Clark. He's really flying at the moment. Time for a short break as we head off to a break. Let's have a look at a few other notable races around the country.
Race 7 at Morfettville was an open handicap over 1,250 metres. After finishing third in two runs back this campaign, the big striding Underestimation was too strong for his rivals, streaking home for its fourth career victory. Race leader Justify That boxed on Gamely in second place.
They're in the straight, and it's nearest to Penn, and Justify That couldn't agree more. Came at the pair. Underestimation joins in, double pockets looking for a run. It's now Underestimation going to nearest to Penn. Slipping up on the fence, double pockets. Justify That still there. Underestimation broke clear late though, and Underestimation goes on to score. Justify That held on really well for second.
Last year's Placid Arc and Sir Ernest Lestier Classic winner Liberty's Gem was bidding to make it 5 wins from 7 starts in the 4th on the Belmont card. The gelding, which started favourite under top weight of 59 kilos, took up his favoured role in front, but was under siege at the 200 metre mark with the Fred Kersley trained North Ridge going home best.
At his girth is Django with a length and a half, our finest moment called upon. North Ridge on his inside, Van Ripper near the rail and Dark Alert runs on. Further back, Top Show. Turner drools the whip on the favourite, Liberty's Gem 200 he finds. North Ridge starts to run on and so does our finest moment. North Ridge levels up, hits the lead. Here comes Top Show though from the tail. She's finishing brilliantly. North Ridge from Top Show and North Ridge won.
Still to come, we prepare to duck out on Racing Retro, and poor old Gary Cleese encounters a different kind of health warning when he reaches for a fag at Grafton.
One lucky punter each week gets the chance to win up to $350,000 in one race on one runner. Could it be you? Enter today's code for your chance to win.
When did it all change so much?
Hello,
how did FaceTime replace face-to-face time? What makes us think typing LOL is anything like hearing someone laugh out loud? Why take a selfie when you could take a moment instead? It's time to put down the phones, pick up a menu and reconnect. The Coffee Club was created to be a relaxed meeting place that brought people together. Over 25 years on, we're more committed than ever to making it easy to come together and connect. With more than 29 million coffees made every year. More menu options to cater for young and old. And more time to just connect over that second cup of excellent coffee. Because at the Coffee Club, meeting up means more.
Good Game Empire in app or browser at goodgame.com.au.
You know what? You can choose to play the part. Or you can break the mold.
What he's done. Gemma? He put a dead mouse in his cigarette box, that little rock. But your game, your business, is a pest control.
Correct, that is right.
So I presume somewhere along the line you found a little mouse this morning, brought him to the races and gave him to Marlon to get to me.
No, it had G written on its head, so I come from Grafton.
Here's me little mate here. Come over here. Come over here, little fella. My coffee is good, my cigarettes are no good because they had a mice in it.
Oh, well, I don't know where that come from, mate.
No, you don't know nothing about it?
No. Honestly.
Yeah.
Gary Cleese being stitched up there at Grafton during the week. Another reason smoking is not good for you, viewers. Don't smoke.
Don't worry, he still smoked them.
I bet he did.
See how much they cost?
It sounds like he had a couple of suspects there. I'm not sure if he's got the culprit yet.
What about Marla going, really, honestly?
Not me, mate.
Straight away, you hear what he was talking about, regardless of even being a very poor witness.
All right. Now, just a few other things that we've noticed during the week. An unfortunate situation for you yesterday at Doomben.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, you got yourself in the shit, didn't you?
You and the Sky team, here you are. You're all getting ready for
you're
a cross.
You're posing for another photo.
There.
Oh, Roddy, your good black shoes.
I notice they're not playing the sound of that one.
No. Were they the bellies?
No, I tell you. I've been picking that stuff up half my life with my hand.
And talking it for the other half.
The only person worried about that was the bloke next to me in the plane coming home. He kept looking at me.
Well, I'm glad you didn't wear those ones into retro this morning. Now, there was a Group 1 race in Europe overnight. It was the Irish 2000 Guineas. A very good horse in Europe at the moment. His name is Glen Eagles.
Side of Mohead. Glen Eagles tracks them in towards the inside. Endless Drama improving in the centre of the track with Bellardo. Spread across the track. Ivorwood leads by two lengths now. From down the outside is Bellardo. They're followed in the centre by Endless Drama. Glen Eagles towards the inside. Ivorwood in the lead now from Endless Drama. Glen Eagles between them and Bellardo towards the near side. Inside the last 150, and Glen Eagles and Ryan Moore come through now from Endless Drama. It's Glen Eagles got to win the Guineas for Belly Doyle. Second Endless Drama. Ivorwood third, Bellardo.
He's won the big double over the air. The English and Irish 2,000 Guineas. Aidan O'Brien's 10th win in the race. I'm hearing, Richard, they might avoid the Derby with him. They might go for the St James Palace Stakes during Royal Ascot. It's a mile instead of the Derby.
Yeah, well, that was a 1,600 metre race there, and they probably think he doesn't quite stay the trip. But it was a lovely ride from Ryan Moore, because he rode it like he was riding in Hong Kong or in Australia. He sat back third on the fence. He went to go to the outside. That closed off, went back the inside, found the gap. It just looked like racing here or in Hong Kong or somewhere in Asia, you know, and Ryan drew on all that experience there, and Bally Doyle wins another 2,000 Irish 2,000 Guineas, so, you know, the caravan rolls on.
Mm. Ronnie, you weren't impressed with American Pharaoh last week. You're not a fan of American racing, but is that better than a Wolverhampton hurdle?
Yeah, much better. I enjoy that.
I thought the third horse, whose name escapes me, he might be a nice horse for Australia. He bowled along in front. He had a bit of tactical speed.
Not long to go. It's on the Belmont, Ron. 2 weeks.
Blow the balloons up for the Belmont.
We'll be having a big Belmont party. Week ahead, we've got the Oaks next week. Group 1 Queensland Oaks, and great support card there, and Doomben is the venue for the Oaks this year. Still getting used to going to Doomben next week, and for the Stradbroke as well the following week. All right, that's just about all we have time for. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, Matt.
Where are you off to next week? Is it
Rose Hill? I'd imagine Rose Hill. Be back on the agenda next Saturday.
And have a look around for Peter Moody's Trainers Trophy for the All Age Stakes. Apparently, that's gone missing. That
someone's finished.
And while you're doing it, have a look around for Superimposer's Trainers Cox Plate. That's gone missing too.
Anything else from
you? You should take them home when you leave the race.
You're going to be busy. All right, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for being with us, viewers. Have a good week.
Look in the lost property, please.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Feel sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. You're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone, on this Sunday morning. Paul Langham saying good morning and welcome along. And Trent Langscale joins me from tab.com.au. How are you this morning, Trent?
Going well on yourself, Paul?
Very good, and happy with that victory last night of the Swans over Hawthorne.
Not everyone is. That was a very good match last night, the grand final rematch.
It was a ripper, wasn't it? We couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah, they got out to the fast start, and Hawthorne did reel them in and looked like they had them on the ropes in the last quarter, but Jared McVeigh inspired last quarter with a couple of goals, and then Luke Parker kicking the one to put them in front, and then Hawthorne, they still had chances to win. Luke Bruce, usually a dead-eye dick in front of the big sticks, he missed, and Rioli was running in the goal, and he just fumbled the ball, so the Swans got a just exacted a little bit of revenge for last year's grand final, and all of a sudden they're going along nicely as well. But a big day in racing yesterday, the features at Doomben, we had the Doomben 10,000 and Najum, who was most